Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. We're so glad you're here because Pam and I are getting ready to answer your listener questions, including a question from up in Kingston, not Jamaica. We're going the other way, Canada, from listener Rochelle, who has a big dilemma. Should she see Illuminations with the holiday tag? It's going away. Or Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam with her family this holiday season? Here are our thoughts on this question and more. First, a word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com. Home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count down the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my spanking new iPhone XS Max. And this thing is Max. And I'm telling you, this app looks great on this device. It helps me count down to my next trip, which is only 105 days now until Marathon Weekend 2019. There's some new things with Days to Go. Maybe you didn't know, but you can now see your countdown in the widget section of iOS, which is very cool. If you swipe to the left, you'll see that. And there's even a hidden cat feature in there as well. You got to look closely to find that. But yes, our developer has a picture of a cat somewhere hidden in the app. So anytime you pick up your phone to place a text, get a phone call, post to social media, you'll know how many days you have to go to your next trip and get excited for said trip. So check them out. There's great apps for your iOS device right now. They're over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who continues to support the Be Our Guest podcast through our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you do that online shopping, it is sure appreciated when you support the show by clicking through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It helps cover the bandwidth and the hosting, and we can't thank you enough for that. Again, it's beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1386 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope that you're doing well and maybe today finds you with a pumpkin spice latte in your hand because it is now officially fall. So that is approved. You can do that. Now, those people that jumped in August... Too soon, but you're cool now. Bust out the Uggs. It's still probably 92 degrees where you are, but you know, as soon as the counter says fall, I've been on a college campus, man. I'm telling you, everybody at Mizzou last weekend, they were dressed like it was, you know, like they were going to Antarctica just because the calendar said fall. It was still hot. I mean, like I got sunburned. Look at me right now in the Be Live. I got a red face because it was blazing hot, but it's fall, so enjoy those Uggs, ladies. Whatever. All right, so joining me today to answer your listener questions, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. Pam, how are you doing on this Wednesday?
Happy fall. It's actually chilly here. I did have my first pumpkin spice latte because I am so basic, but I'm really not a Starbucks coffee drink. I mean, it's fine. I like it. I'm not like one of those I hate Starbucks people because I know that there are people who don't like it, but I don't like to pay $5 for coffee, so don't drink that much. But I do make pumpkin spice lattes at home here in the comfort of my own home with some lovely syrups that I buy on Amazon through the Be Our Guest podcast.
Yes.
Of course.
Yes. Yes. You know, I've never had a coffee. I've never had a coffee in my life. I tasted it once. It was too bitter. And I just go on to Coke Zero and I'm good to go. And I drink my world supply of that. I can tell you that.
Well, we're basic at my house, so we like everything pumpkin. It's okay. I'm okay with being basic. I am kind of a basic girl, so.
We're so hip. That saying was from a minute ago.
A hot minute.
That's right.
Ago.
And this show is going to be Gucci, just so you know. Mallory taught me that one this week. All right. Anyway, let's get to your list of questions. Thanks to everybody in the live chat, including my good friend Jonathan, the Monkey Man, up in Canada, who got to meet up with Ricky, who's not with us today because she's on the Disney Magic. I think Ricky is considering becoming a Canadian citizen, last I heard, because of the great cupcakes from Jonathan's bakery, and they were awesome. They had they were just awesome. There was a Be Our Guest podcast cupcake that I just wanted to bite into so badly because I know it had to taste great, but it was a picture, so I couldn't. So I was sad. Anyway, speaking of Canada, our first question comes from Canada today. It's from Rochelle. She says, big dilemma, Illuminations or Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. Dear Mike, Pam, and Ricky, I first listened to a Be Our Guest podcast a year ago and have been hooked ever since. It's almost like Jonathan's cupcakes. One bite and you're hooked. That's it, from what I've heard. Almost as much as the answers. I love hearing the banter back and forth between the three of you and your genuine love of Disney. Well, thank you. When I heard Disney was going to be sunsetting Illuminations, I was like, poor Mike. Did you shed a tear, Mike? I know how much you love that nighttime spectacular. Okay, let me take a break from the email because I do have to give my 2 cents. I love Illuminations in the strongest way possible. But I've had time to reflect on it. The good thing about this is, and Pam, maybe you'll agree with me on this, I think we've known this is coming for, say, 2 years minimum. I mean, I've kind of had, it wasn't sudden. Like, this was going to happen, and it was actually, I think Illuminations has hung on a lot longer than I expected. So I think that's making it slightly easier.
Yeah, it was like a sudden 20-year death. Not sudden at all.
I don't know. So it's one of those things that I think nowadays it's much easier to see something like this, go away in favor of something new with newer technology, just an overall new experience, an updated experience that maybe fits the park's message a little bit tighter as to how the park is. Just because now we have, you know, I'll always have the music in various forms. You know, I'll always have the videos. There's always going to be a way to, you're not going to firsthand experience it, which is kind of sad, but you'll have a lot of ways to share that and be able to go back. And the thing that I have with Illuminations is the memories and the friends I've got to see it with in different points. I mean, that show was perfect for the Millennium. You know, the Millennium Celebration was incredible. I was lucky to be down there during that time, and it was perfect for that. And I, you know, for that reason, I miss Tapestry of Dreams and Nations, you know, both versions of that parade. That was an amazing time to be at Walt Disney World. But I have the memories in my heart, so it's going. So I just, I'm not going to chain myself, like I said years ago, to the Earth globe and get arrested. I'm not doing that this time. So we'll see what happens. Anyway, back to the email. This news has caused a big dilemma for me and my sister. We're heading to Walt Disney World with our families the first week of December to experience Christmas at the world for the very first time. Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, resort hopping to see the decorations, and the candlelight processional. Aside from holiday wishes at the Magic Kingdom the night of Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, we only have one other park day to enjoy a nighttime spectacular. Since this trip was supposed to be about experiencing Christmas at Walt Disney World, we were going to see the candlelight processional at Epcot, then park hop to Hollywood Studios to close out the night with Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. But with the announcement that Illuminations is ending, we are wondering if we should stay in Epcot to see Illuminations. We only go every few years to Walt Disney World and won't be back before Illuminations ends. My family saw it years ago, and I just loved it. But my sister's family and our dad have not. I'm really torn, as we are there to experience Christmas and wonder if we should stick with the plan to see Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. At the same time, I would love for my sister's family and our dad to see Illuminations, as I hear there's a holiday tag added on for Christmas. What do you think we should do? Rochelle's up in Kingston, Canada. She says, by the way, your lizards have inspired me to start running again. Maybe our next trip after this one will be for a half marathon. Well, good job, Rochelle. Keep running, and we'll see you at the starting line in the corrals. Man, this email, I didn't even want to read this email because it is like, I don't know. You know, there's a lot of times I just don't. Okay, so I'll let you go first because I kind of do now that I think about it. What do you think? Would you do Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam or Illuminations?
So last year, Disney had added a lot of new decorations at Hollywood Studios. And it just totally transformed the way that Hollywood Studios looks at night. And I would hate for you to miss that on a trip where you're going to sort of focus on all the holiday stuff. I mean, it really is spectacular. It just all, it looks very retro. It feels very kitschy. It looks like the 50s primetime sort of blew up all over. You know what I mean?
That's a good way to put it. Like, yes, yes.
It does, though. It's all very retro and very cool. It's like, I don't know, it's like all the decorations I remember my grandparents having, yes. You know, stuff like that. So I love it. And I really love Hollywood Studios at night, especially at the holidays. I think it's just such a cool thing to do. So I think if you're really embracing that holiday theme and you want to stick with it, then just go and experience Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. I think that it will just help make that sort of complete. And the thing is, like Mike mentioned, you can listen to Illuminations, you can watch Illuminations on YouTube and other places. You can, you know, see it so many places. And don't look at it as if you you're missing one thing in favor of another. I think just look at it with you have goals for this trip, and I think just stick with it.
Yes. And this show, I know we're terrible about this, because here's my thing. Okay, so when you're making your Venn diagram or your tea table or whatever you're doing to make a good decision, because I'm a former teacher, and you got to have graphic organizers for everything in your life. And yes, that is still in my heart, even though I haven't taught for a couple of years. Here's the thing about, I would say to make a proper choice for your trip is that with Illuminations is awesome in itself. The holiday tag is incredible because it's Walter Cronkite. That is what I'm going to really miss is, here's what I'm going to miss about Illuminations, probably more than any other thing, is the holiday tag with Walter Cronkite and being in World Showcase surrounded by people from all around the globe. I love that feeling that World Showcase represents a global community, but if you just look around, you're hearing people speaking different languages, you're seeing people that look different than you, but everybody's there for a common goal. Everybody kind of has a love for Disney, everybody's there on vacation, everybody's having the time of their lives, and that is truly kind of like what the planet should be. Like Epcot's a microcosm of what the whole planet should be, expanded out beyond the borders. So what I'm going to miss, and this is something I can't duplicate on YouTube, is the feeling that I get. Like, I always get goosebumps with the holiday tag at Illuminations during the holidays. It's incredible. Like, it's just, you know, we talk about peace on earth and goodwill toward man. I mean, it's like, whoa, you know, that one, just thinking about it right now, I'm getting goosebumps. I love that part of Illuminations during the holidays. I'd hate for you to miss that. But Jingle Bell Jingle Bam is fun. So if you're going to put like a describer next to each one, Illuminations kind of emotional and moving and very powerful. Jingle Bell Jingle Bam, visual, fun, exciting, new. And then you get the overall, you know, kitschiness of the park at the holidays. So really, you can't go wrong with either. It's just, you're going to be moved if you see the holiday tag at Illuminations. You're going to have fun if you go over to Studios. What do you think, Pam? Is that a good description? Because I don't know which one to do. It's kind of either way.
No, it's actually a really hard decision even for me that has seen probably Illuminations no less than 1,000 times. So, I mean,
you're actually officially licensed to be on the Inferno Barge if you want to be.
I got a credential and everything. When I walk in, they give me a button. They're like, I'm celebrating seeing Illuminations for the 1,001.
Hi. Illuminations 1K, baby.
So anyways, but I just, there's just something about embracing all the holiday stuff that I think is really fun too. So like Mike said, you absolutely cannot make a wrong choice. We hope you, we want to see your diagram. So please, yes, take a picture of it and send it to us. Post it on the FaceTube or something so that we can see it.
We will share on all social media channels. All right. Next email comes from Mike in New Jersey. Mike and gang, I'm going to be traveling for work in the Orlando area in October and plan on swinging by the boardwalk to see Illuminations one last time on October 17th. It's going away next summer, and our next Walt Disney World trip isn't until the spring of 2020. Illuminations is my all-time favorite fireworks, and I simply cannot pass up the opportunity to at least catch a small glimpse of it before it's gone. My question is about dining. Can you recommend as a good dinner spot before Illuminations in the boardwalk area without an ADR? Any lounges or unique dining options? I appreciate the recommendations and keep up the great podcasts, Mike. All right, so he's going to try to catch the tippy tops of Illuminations from the boardwalk, I'm guessing, without going into the park. You can hear the music, right, if you get close enough. You're not going to see a lot of Illuminations, but you will see some of it, and it's all about the experience. Illuminations will appreciate you being there. I mean, that's the whole thing, is the Illuminations spirit will know that Mike is on the other side of the fence, and he loves you. So that's the whole thing. We're saying goodbye and blow it a kiss or something. Where should Mike eat before Illuminations without an ADR in the boardwalk area to get some good eats?
So for me, I think I'm going to head over to the Cruise Cup at the Yacht Club. It's right there by the boardwalk. The boardwalk and the Yacht Club and the Beach Club are very close to each other. You know, it's the little loop around that whole area is less than a mile, I think, for mm-hmm. the whole loop. So really close in the same area. And the Yacht Club, I think, has one of the better choices for the lounge. Cruise Cup is a great lounge. the other place that we've eaten there, and actually we had a drink with you and Pam there, was Ale and Compass Lounge. Yep. And Steve and I, of course, it hasn't been open that long, but you can bet that the Foresters have had a whole meal there, because you know I am lax in making our own ADRs. So we were in the position where we were at the yacht club and we hadn't made any ADRs and didn't know where we were going to eat. And actually, Ale and Compass has a nice lounge menu there too. So they have some good food choice options. You could try that too. Unfortunately, Abracadabar, soon after opening, stopped really selling any food with, you know, so you can't really order food there. You can get a drink. Flying Fish does have a counter that sometimes is available, but sometimes is not. And it's a pricier meal. And then Beaches and Cream still does walk-ups sometimes, but the wait can be quite long for that. So I wouldn't try that either. The other place you can try is maybe Big River Grill.
Because they don't take ADRs, do they?
No, they don't take ADRs. So you can try that one. I think they don't take ADRs.
I don't think they do. I don't think they do.
Okay. All right. I was like, last time I looked, I didn't think they did. but you can try that. But it's a lot of... I think you'd be happier with one of the other choices is what I'm trying to say. I think the Big River is an interesting concept, but the menu has been the same for about 10 years or so. I mean, there really aren't that many additions to it, and I think it just needs a little zhuzh. So.
Or even ESPN is a single. You could probably get up to the bar pretty quick and just order food from the bar. I might do that for if sure. I'm into sports.
For sure.
All right. Good luck, and tell Illuminations goodbye from Mike, even though I'll be there over Wine and, or not Wine and Dine, for a marathon. So I'll be watching it then. All right. The next question actually is about Wine and Dine. It's titled Wine and Dine Shenanigans. It's from Emily. Hey, BOGP crew. I know you guys are so busy, but I need some advice on two things for my upcoming Disney trip. I'm a seasoned Disney traveler. Number one, I'm running the Wine and Dine half marathon in just 40 days, and my kids, 4 and 2, are running the kids' races on Saturday. Right now, I'm planning on going to doing Hollywood Studios Saturday after the kids' races and hoping to make it until the Star Wars fireworks and Epcot and Magic Kingdom on Sunday after my race. Do you think this is a mistake? Should I change to doing Hollywood Studios on Sunday and Epcot Magic Kingdom on Saturday? I cannot get a fast pass for Slinky Dog any day or time the whole time I'm there, November 2nd through the 8th. So that is a working problem, as my son is dying to ride it. Any advice on how to get on Slinky Dog without waiting forever in the standby line? Okay, first of all, let's stop there. Just got a second question. It's going to be tough because you can't do rope drop because you're going to be at the races both days. So that does make it tough. I will say, and we've said this many times on the podcast, Ricky scores on this a lot. Keep checking My Disney Experience for those fast passes, because they pop up just at random times. If you're sitting on the couch at night watching the news, grab your phone, refresh, and modify the number of people sometimes. You know, that just mess with your variables, your factors. And I don't understand exactly the nuances of the My Disney Experience system, other than if you do something weird, sometimes you get lucky. It's like a slot machine, you know, so just play with it. Play with your time windows. Play with that, you know, and Ricky gets them all the time. I'm not as crazy as she is. She does it kind of all the time. I think maybe she has more free time on her hands. I don't know, because I never get them, but she does. So, Pam, what would you say to that? Because and as far as going to the parks after the races, I think you're going to be fine. That's good. So I think your park days are fine. What about getting that Slinky Dog? That's the elusive, that and Flight of Passage.
No, it is. Those are the two rough ones. The other thing you may want to try is to plan on being at Hollywood Studios near closing time, and see if you can get in line, you know, near closing time. I think the term they use is stack that line. They sort of make the line look longer than it is, so that they can close sort of on time. Because if you're in line, even if the park closes, they'll still let you ride the attraction. And the other thing is, make sure there's no evening extra magic hours when you're going to be there, because that's still a great benefit for guests. So take advantage of those too. But try, you know, the evening thing to see. The great news is, if you want a Toy Story Fast Pass, it's available.
Yeah, no kidding.
All day long with the Toy Story Fast Pass. But and the thing about the Slinky Dog attraction is that the line's cute. I mean, there are lots of things to look at and see and do. It sort of looks like a normal line, but if you really are looking around, you can see some really unique things. So enjoy it.
It's super cute when the sun's not out in July. You know what?
I know.
You know it's going to make getting a fast pass to Slinky Dog easier? Galaxy's Edge opening. It's like absolutely. The next thing.
Absolutely. I know. It will be like, what percentage of Disney's Hollywood studio attractions are in the tier one? It's like, because right now it seems like 50%.
Yes, I hear you.
So, oh, crazy. A lot.
All right, her second question is also, I need some advice on where we should have dinner Saturday night. I always say Las Fuentes. No, wait, I think she's talking about her trip. Sorry. I wanted something a little nicer because my mom will be with us for the weekend to watch the races. And I also want to make sure I can carb load for the race on Sunday. I love when we talk about carb loading as runners. That's really just an excuse just to pig out because you're running. I'm all about it. I do that almost every day. That's why I run so much. They're staying at the Dolphin. They've never stayed there before, but got a great deal. And it's so close to Epcot that I'm digging that. We have ADRs at Sanaa, Homecoming, and Coral Reef for the rest of our time in Disney. I just want Saturday night to be either by the Dolphin or in Hollywood Studios if I keep to the plan to stay there for the day on Saturday. I don't want flying fish or anything too fancy. Just want to have a full belly and a nice ambiance. Where would you go? Disney Springs? As you know, it's going to be crowded. I'm having trouble finding reservations that I'm actually going to be excited about. Thanks so much. Love listening to the podcast on my runs to get me ready for the half, getting me so excited. Emily is in Monroe, New Jersey, 932 miles from me, 321 from Pam, and 811 from Ricky. All right, so let's get her some carb load, nice, not too far away, dining for Saturday night, pre-half marathon on Sunday. I'm going to throw out, this is my pick, Trattoria Al Forno, because it's on the board. It's on the boardwalk. It's got carbs. It's got pastas. It's got a nice ambiance. I think your mom would like it. And you can just hop, skip, and jump back to the Dolphin. What do you think, Pam?
Yeah, that's an interesting choice. I didn't even think of that one. The other one I will suggest, I'll give a little, again, to Ale and Compass, but not the lounge. They actually have a restaurant. You could try that one. They have some interesting dishes. They're tweaking, they're making some changes, but we've had some good meals there. The other thing you may want to consider is Cape May. I mean, not exactly carb loading, but it certainly is buffet-style loading in that, you have a plethora of choices.
But that ADR is just a little fishy.
That's bad. So you can definitely try that one. Look at the menu, see if that appeals to you. They have items that appeal to those who like seafood and those who do not. So
my wife won't even walk past that place. She's so anti-seafood. Like anytime we go to the beach club and I'm like, okay, we got to walk from the lobby to the lounge where we watched the national championship game with Moose, the one night marathon weekend last year. Martha's Vineyard.
Yeah.
Go for the lobby to Martha's Vineyard. You'd think I'm walking her through like the trash dump. She can't stand the smell of seafood. And it is strong. I'll get it. You know, I like seafood, so it's fine. But yeah, it's interesting. Joanne is saying Brown Derby. That is another great call. That'd be fancy and nice and close to your hotel. But you'd have
for
to,
sure.
And if you're staying in the studios, that's your answer right there, actually, if you're staying in. All right, so next question is from Natalie. It says, I've been waiting almost a year to ask this listener question. All right, let's answer it. Hi, Mike. Thanks for answering my question. Jake and I listened to the show on our way to our anniversary dinner. It was a nice surprise for him and fun to relive that somewhat romantic moment. I also wanted to thank you for keeping me going during my 20-mile run yesterday. I'm running my first marathon in Chicago in a few weeks. It was hot yesterday morning, and I had my first run-in with dehydration. I made it to about 15 miles before I had to start walking. All I could think about was how worried I was about finishing the 20, finishing the actual marathon, and where the heck is that water stop? Thank goodness it was an organized event, and I didn't need to keep looking for a 7-Eleven. I put the BOGP on, and I was able to distract myself enough to get to the next water stop. Eventually, I felt good enough to get across that finish line. I honestly don't think I could have done it without you all in my ears. One more thank you to Pam for her comments on how we all need a little more grace. Amen to that. Lots of love, Natalie. So not really a question. That was actually a follow-up to a question we had on an earlier show. But Pam, that makes me feel good that people trust us to be in their ears for 20 miles. That's because I'm telling you, as a runner, the smallest things will bug you, like at mile 17. And then on a podcast, that's all I listen to when I run. And I go on runs every morning. And there's some mornings I don't want to be out there. I'm just running. I'm like, oh, just getting on my nerves. So if you stick with us for 20 miles, God bless you, Natalie. Thanks for that.
That's right. I so totally agree. I mean, I will just say it's funny because when we walk in the morning. We typically walk in the afternoon, but we walk in the morning and I always say it's anger that fuels us on because everything's irritating to me. The people who don't share the sidewalk well, they irritate me. And you know what I mean? We do a lot of things that could be annoying, I'm sure. So anyways, we appreciate that. And I'm glad the Grace comment was helpful. I actually have a little sticky on my computer right here in the corner that talks about Grace that I need to show a little and hope that I get a little. So yeah, Grace.
I'm so glad you have that on your computer every time we record. Have pity on me. I'm doing the best I can.
That's right.
And speaking of famisms, you know, we have the new t-shirts, sweatshirts, and we've seen lots of listeners wearing these with the newly designed by Ricky have a hashtag freaking magical day swag. Which it looks really good. I got to give Ricky credit. She did a good job designing that thing. And I know Dennis is in the chat right now. He's got one that he's going to wear down to Walt Disney World. It's a thing. Scott sent me a message the other night with a hoodie. I got to get in on this because those things are pretty sweet.
They're freaking magical.
Yes, they are. It's crazy.
Who knew, right?
Who knew? This little journey we're on. It's so fun. Next question. 96 days until Christmas at the World question. It's from Lori. Hi, gang. This will be our first time experiencing the holidays at Disney, and we are so excited. We're going to be in the Magic Kingdom on Christmas Day. We can't wait to see the parade. No, I'm just kidding. I added that just to see if you're paying attention. She didn't say that. Our plan is to rope drop, then leave after the conclusion of the Once Upon a they're seeing the parade, but I was joking about it being the one you see on TV. Guys, never mind. But they are going to see the Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas Time at Christmas Parade at noon. I've heard that during the Very Merry Christmas Party that it snows on Main Street during the parade. Do they also do this during the holiday season once the parties have concluded? Just curious if being on Main Street should be a priority or if we can watch it from Frontierland or Liberty Square area. Also, do you think we could make it to a 12:25 p.m. Be Our Guest lunch reservation if we watch the parade in front of the Hall of Presidents? Thanks so much. Lori's in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I hope, Lori, that your community is recovering. We are still with you guys in the Carolinas. We love you guys. So, okay, let's get to this. Does it snow? Because I was trying to think. I don't think it does snow except for during the parties, right? Am I right? I haven't been to a party or I haven't been down there for a couple of years.
Except for like the week of Christmas, all things kind of change a little bit. But I think that they reserve the snowing to the parties. You know, who knows when you're walking out? I mean, they could start the snowing, especially because the parties do start. You know what I mean? The parties start at like 7, so you could be walking out. And they do always have it snowing when you're walking in. So,
but she's talking about during the noontime parade, just like for the general public. But it's on Christmas Day. I mean, if they're going to do it anytime, like for the general public, I would say Christmas Day, but I wouldn't count on it.
When I've done that during Christmas Day, I can't remember so we don't know.
I would just ask a cast member. They probably won't know either, but at least you're asking somebody that's there. I don't know. I'll have to look into that.
I don't either. Good question. I don't either.
All right, so I think it's going to be tough to make that 12:25 Be Our Guest lunch reservation if you're watching the parade that if it's a noon parade and you're 12:25 trying to get to Be Our Guest and you're at the Hall of Presidents. You're actually not that far away, but you got to remember that when a parade is going on at Walt Disney World, traffic is diverted and you may have to go like the longest way in the world around the park. So I would say it's going to be a little tight. Now, if you watch it on Main Street, I'm trying to think. If you watch it on Main Street and you go through Tomorrowland, because you're going to have to go around it. But I mean, you're going to be at the, I don't know, would that be the end of the parade or the beginning of the parade? It depends which way it starts. I guess it would start.
Maybe you want to change where you're going to watch the parade and try to do it. Where are you going to? Where's she going to?
They're going to Be Our Guest. They have a 12:25 lunch reservation, and it's a noon parade. That's going to be tight because the parade's pretty long.
No, you're right. The Hall of Presidents will be able to cut back through past the Haunted Mansion.
Yeah, you'd have to go through Fantasyland and then go there. Yeah, that'd work.
Yeah, you're going to have to go through swimming through Fantasyland, of course, which is always a joy. But it will be a little tight, but I think that, you know, they'll show a little grace.
They do. You don't have to be there right at 12:25. Just say you got caught in parade traffic. Right. All right. The next question, lunch with a view, maybe. from Christian, and says, good morning, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. First, thank you for putting this podcast together. My brother introduced me to the BOG podcast a couple of months back when I booked my family's Walt Disney World trip. You guys have become my stress relief on my daily drives to and from work. I look forward to getting in the car each day to get a little bit of Disney in my life and make my trip feel a little closer. I love that. We're taking away stress. We're like a gigantic stress ball. Or, as my daughter calls them, they're called squishies. And she pays like $7 for them. And I'm like, all it is like a 50-cent stress ball that you could get out of one of those claw machines. But I'm not going to go into that. Okay, on to her question. We'll be taking my then 4-year-old daughter to Walt Disney World for her first trip at the end of April 2019. I'm currently planning out my ADRs and stuck on Animal Kingdom. My original plan was an ADR for lunch at Sanaa, as I've never been to the Animal Kingdom Lodge and I'm dying to see it. My plan is to start our day at the Animal Kingdom, do what attractions we can at her age, then have a nice lunch and leisurely afternoon back at our resort, Art of Animation. My whole reason for picking Sanaa is to eat lunch while watching the animals for my little one. Can I request a table with a view when making my ADR? Or maybe call and specify at a later time. If not, I might look to just stay in the park for lunch and tour the resort later in the day. Backup lunch recommendations in the park are also welcome just in case. Thanks you all for so much for all the help you've given me so far. Christian is in New Orleans, Louisiana. All right, so let's see if I'm right here, Pam. As far as I know, when you're making the ADR, you can't specifically ask for a table with a view. However, you can do this upon checking in with the host or hostess. And if you have a little kid there and, you know, you sound excited and you're willing to wait maybe an extra 10 minutes, you could probably get a good table at Sanaa, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I would. In fact, they actually say that during the booking process that you can't make requests for specific tables or whatnot, but you can when you get to the podium, because the podium will be better able to assess, you know, what kind of weight you would have and give you a better idea of that. So absolutely. I usually, when I have something in particular I'm really looking for, I go up and of course I'm sweet as can be. Yes. And then also I'm like, you know, we would like to sit here. We're willing to wait a little extra time. We understand, you know, that other people may have the same requests we do. We just, you know, wanted to let you know. And they usually try to be really accommodating. So.
And slip them a George Washington when you're doing it. You'll be good to go. Or maybe a Lincoln. I don't know. So, so she says backup plan, though, someplace to eat in Animal Kingdom in case they decide not to go the Sanaa route. I would say especially with it being lunch and with it being, you know, just you're kind of wanting to get back to Art of Animation to kind of have a leisurely afternoon. I would say counter service at Animal Kingdom Lodge. You got places like Satuli Canteen, you have Flame Tree Barbecue, you got Harambe Market. If you want to sit down, I really like Yak and Yeti. What else would you say to maybe think about and consider if they don't want to go outside of the park?
I think that Animal Kingdom is one of those places that has a lot of great places to eat, especially quick service locations. They have, I think, better quick service options than all the other, you know, parks. Mike, of course, mentioned Satuli Canteen, which has become a favorite of all of ours. We just really like it. There's just so many great choices, but I agree. Flame Tree is good as well. Yak and Yeti, even the sit down place or the quick service location, they both have good options. Tiffin's is fancy, but the food's great there. You may want to consider that as well.
And Mr. Daniel Cisneros from New Mexico is saying that he did ask for the window table at check-in at Sanaa, and they did, and they were great about it. So again, just be nice, and, you know, odds are in your favor is what I say. While things can't be guaranteed, you can stack the odds in your favor. All right, the next question, WTF, what the fireworks for spring 2019? I have no idea what WTF stands for, but let's go with it. Here we go. Josh says, howdy from Wyoming. Yes, another state to check off. Wyoming in the house. Hey, guys, love the show. Been listening for a couple of months as we begin planning our 10-person trip to the world for March 2019. We have kids as little as 5 and adults for every decade as well as one in a wheelchair. We had planning on DHS for Sunday, our first day in the park, and Galactic Spectacular to cap off a great evening, especially since we have so many Star Wars fans. However, when I checked today, it looks as though the fireworks have been canceled. Is this accurate? Do you have an alternative solution? All right, so he has one other question, but totally unrelated. So they're looking for the fireworks, the Star Wars fireworks, and he says they've been canceled. What I'm guessing, Pam, in an instance like this, that they're going to do fireworks, but maybe the schedule is just not updated to where it should be. You know, we're still in September, and this is for March. Is that your guess?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wouldn't freak out yet.
For some reason, Hollywood Studios in particular, their shows don't get released on a really accurate basis until much closer to the travel dates. They always seem to be tweaking something there at Hollywood Studios. And I know that's a frustration for folks, but just know it'll be, you know, around closing time, and plan on, you know, being able to take advantage of that if that's important to you. But I think they'll probably be there. The only way that they wouldn't is if someone rented out the park and it closed a little early. They typically don't allow that to happen, you know, during spring break time. So hopefully that won't be the case. But yeah, I know, you know, it's so funny. Disney has really conditioned us all, right, to plan in advance, right? I mean, you're like 6 months out and you feel like you're behind the eight ball. Yes. Because you haven't done all these things. And, you know, I will say I absolutely realize that everyone's vacation, there are things you get in your head that you really want to do. Because we all do that. I think whether you've been, this is your first time or your 100th time, you have goals for that trip. But there are many trips when I haven't been able to do what I thought I wanted to do, and it all worked out okay. So there's plenty of stuff to keep you going. So.
I just figured out what WTF stands for, Josh.
Why the fireworks?
Where's the fireworks? I'm glad I know that, because I see that on Twitter sometimes too. So now I know it's where's the fireworks. Anyway, second part of his question. They're trying to decide between California Grill or Be Our Guest for our last special meal of the trip. Do you have a suggestion or a recommendation? They're 181 days out from Pop Century and 2016 miles away. So this is kind of we're talking to Pam here. Okay, so honestly, would you pick California Grill or Be Our Guest? Two very kind of different experiences. One's at a resort, one's in a theme park. One's slightly more elegant, one's more themed. I mean, really can't go wrong. But what would you give to Josh on with his thoughts there?
Yeah, you know, I haven't had the opportunity to dine at Be Our Guest since they've made the switch to the prefix meal. And I've read some reviews of it, and people seem generally happy. But I always feel like the restaurants outside of the parks sort of do a better job at the whole food thing. And I will say, too, at California Grill, you have that beautiful fireworks and Magic Kingdom view. So you may want to consider that. But look at the menus and see. I mean, when someone's in doubt, I always tell them, look at the menus. Because, you know, one may really appeal more to you than the other. But I think you're just going to get a better overall experience when you dine at California Grill. So.
And I follow this Twitter account. It's just a random kind of like robot Twitter account, but it has something. It's like things you should know or something like that. And one of the tips that I read this morning that I think might come into favor here for you is that when you can't make a decision between two things, flip a coin. But here's the deal. When it's in the air and flipping, which your heart's going to tell you which one you want, because you're going to be like, oh man, I hope it lands on heads, because heads is California Grill. Like when it's in the, don't worry about what it lands on. But when you flip it, you got to do it for real. Like whatever, like that'll give you the second of, man, I hope it ends in, you know, this. I've heard that. And actually that kind of does make sense. Anytime I've ever gone 50-50 and I do something like at random, I do kind of have a favorite at that point for some reason.
I know. I think because that's your like last opportunity to kind of like really hope for something. Right. And your unconscious mind sort of is like, you know, the truth comes out right there. So, yeah, I think that's interesting.
You should call 407 WDW Dine and have them on the line with your credit card as the thing's in the air. So you can't go back. Like you got to make it high stakes. Yeah. So there you go. All right. Let's get to the last question of the day. It is titled Not Without My Baby. It's from Neely. Thanks so much for all you guys do. Listening all the time in Texas while preparing for our trip to Disney World on October 18th. My husband and I are taking our 5-year-old and our 3-year-old. However, we decided to leave our 8-month-old behind with grandparents. This is mainly my husband's decision. He's going to be in trouble because he wants to get the most out of it for both and for both of us to be able to experience everything with the two older kids. However, I'm having major mom guilt over leaving the baby behind. Is there anything that y'all can tell me to make me feel better about leaving behind my precious boy? Pros, cons, in other words, make me feel better. Thanks so much, Neely. Well, kind of sounds like, you know, I hope this turns out well for the husband because you mentioned it's his idea already. I'm already kind of sweating for him a little bit, especially that first night, because I would imagine the first night's going to be a little rougher than the rest of the trip. You know, I think that that usually sets in kind of within the first 24 hours of being apart. Pam, you're a mother. Help Neely out. I'm just a dad.
It's hard. It's really hard. So I will say that when Hannah was about a year old, we actually left her with my parents as we went to Walt Disney World. And the reason we did that, and we traveled without her every year at least once during her life. And the reason we did that is because Steve and I always say, like, the most important thing that we can give our daughter is parents who care about each other, and things like that really made, you know, kind of make that possible, the sort of reconnecting through a vacation. Now, I understand your circumstances are a little different because you'll have other kids that are going with you, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they have two kids that are five and three.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so think of it as an opportunity, I think, to spend with the other kids and really focus on those kids. I think, you know, during that first year when you have a newborn, not that you aren't focused on the other kids too, but you know the demands of a newborn. The newborn sort of demands your attention in a way that's hard to ignore. So it is a great opportunity to spend time with the other kids and just really focus on them and doing stuff, you know, with them that they want to do that just honestly, if you're honest, wouldn't be possible if your youngest was there. So, but I'm not going to say this is going to be an easy thing. It was not easy. I remember leaving. I mean, even leaving Hannah overnight when she was little was like heartbreaking. But you know what? As long as you have people that care about your child, then everything will be okay. So,
yeah. It is going to be rough, but I think Pam nailed it, you know, hit the nail on the head here is that you got to see it because it's one of those glass half full, glass half empty kind of situations where you got to see the joy that the 5 and the 3 year old are having where, you know, they have you. This is all about you and them without the baby, which I'm sure they love their little brother. I think it's a little boy. But I mean, it's a chance where they get to just have you by themselves now for a little bit, just for, you know, a brief time. And you got to realize that the little one is probably going to have these trips coming along, but just not this time. And then, you know, this boy's not going to hold it against you. He's 8 months old. He's not going to remember, but I know it's going to be tough. I mean, all that being said, I remember, you know, cause Pam surprised me on my first Father's Day. She was born in January. Father's Day comes in June and she told me, wake up, we're going to Marceline. And like, I was like, what about Mallory? She's staying with my mom. You know, she's 6 months old. And I was kind of a mess because we had never been away from Mallory for any time. She spent the night with Pam's parents and it was tough. But I mean, I got to have a great overnight in Marceline, staying in the Uptown Theater, and had a great experience. But it was rough. I mean, it was kind of tough. But I mean, you got to focus in the experience that you're in, and you're going to have an amazing time, especially with the 5 and the 3 year old deserve it. And they're going to have amazing times, and you're going to talk about that forever. And you're going to have trips with all five of you, I'm sure, moving on for the rest of your life. So I would say, you know, I'd say once you get past the first 24 hours, you're probably better off. Wouldn't you think, Pam? I mean, you just got to kind of, you know, just know everything's good. You get there, you get settled, you go to a park, you call home. Is everything good? Yeah, everything's great. And then have fun, right?
Yep. Absolutely. Yes. Just go and enjoy. I mean, for me, I think when everyone travels, it's like all of the things, the stress that you have to, the things you have to get done before you go sort of put you in that mode where you're like, oh man, why am I even doing this? I mean, of course, you know why you're doing it, mm-hmm. but I think everyone has those thoughts, right? Like, is this even worth it? And then for me, the second I get to the airport, I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. There's nothing else I can do to prepare myself for it at this point. So you got to just go with it and enjoy. Focus on what you're there for.
Absolutely. Please follow up with an email when you get back. They'd love to hear your thoughts on maybe what helped, what went well, what, you know, maybe was a challenge. Because again, you know, we have a huge audience and there's other people in your situation as well. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today's question show. Thank you so much for the wide variety of questions. We love those so very much. Don't forget, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at virtualmickey.com. They've got some great apps. They've got Theme Park News Disney Edition that you can read every morning on your Apple device as you're having your Cocoa Puffs or your Fruit Loops or whatever you have, your peanut butter toast with an egg on top of it. Catch up on all the news in the Disney parks, the Disney company, and you know, the movies and everything else. And it's a free iOS app, which is really, really awesome. And you can tell Ricky's not here because I don't know what we're reading about this week. There's plenty of news. I just don't want to go into another 20 minutes of the show because there's so much that's happened in the last like 15 minutes as we're recording that I'm not going to jump into it. So read it, check it out, download it today. It looks great on iOS 12. Theme Park News, Disney Edition, free for your iOS device over at virtualmickey.com. Thanks again to everybody who supports the show with our Amazon affiliate link. Anytime you do that online shopping, please just click through beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon and give us a follow on the social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter at Be Our Guest Mike and at Be Our Guest Pod. And of course, we've got a great Facebook group at facebook.com/Be Our Guest Podcast. All right, we're going to be back on Friday. Pam and I are coming at you with 19 reasons to visit Walt Disney World in 2019. It's going to be magical, it's going to be fun. It's going to be mouse-galicious, or what is it? Nope, maybe not mouse-galicious. It's going to mouse-ga-dance it. We're going to have a good time talking about why to go to Walt Disney World in 2019, a top 19 list coming your way this Friday. But until then, it's time to head back to work. So for Pam, I'm Mike, and Ricky's somewhere out on the Disney magic still, having a good time, sending us pictures, making me jealous. We're going to get out of here and see you on Friday. Have a great week. Time to head back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at beourguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.